KRVN.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and of course, happy Good Friday to everybody and wishing everybody a very blessed Easter weekend over the next 3 days. Markets, of course, closed today, but that doesn't mean we can't stop talking about what's been happening with the Planet Acreage report that came out. We're going to take a look at some technicals that are weighing in on this trade. And really, something that we keep talking about, and I had one farmer tell me, Littlefield could beaten a dead horse. Well, the problem is y'all ain't ready for a marketing plan, so that's why we keep beating the dead horse. We're going to talk about that as well today as Jeff Peterson joins us with Heartland Farm Partners. So, Jeff, let's talk about this Planet Acreage report. Obviously, we got past the big report of March 28th. Now the next big report comes up in June, so we're already going to start doing some prepping and some talking leading into that.
Yeah, there sure is going to be. And you know, it's always relieved to get another report behind us, especially the Planet Acreage report, because that one can always go ahead and cause us some, you know, it can send us some curveballs one way or the other. But a couple things out of it, you know, it was interesting to see the corn acre come in around, you know, 90 million acres, beans and beans coming in where they're at. But as we go forward, I think a few things. I do think that we're going to see the corn acreage number, I think, will come higher unless we have some, you know, very poor planting conditions. I do think we'll see more acres. So we get down to that planted acreage number at the end of June. I think we can see a higher number. You know, could it be two? Maybe could it be 2.5 million acres more yet on the corn side? That is definitely very possible. Beans, on the other hand, I think could back off a little bit, but some of that is definitely going to depend on what the planting weather conditions are, Susan.
And then we know that weather will definitely can really flip-flop that in a pretty quick heartbeat.
Oh, most definitely can. That can be one big driver. You got the driver of the weather and how fast we can get the crop planted. The other thing that's changed that a little bit, everyone's desire, or a lot of people's desire to plant those beans a little bit earlier, probably takes away a little bit of the change that we could see if we have really good planting conditions. But, you know, and then ultimately what these markets do here, if the corn market tries to say, you know what, we're going to run higher versus where the beans are, then that can go ahead and try to pull some acres, those last acres that still could be switched, pull them from the beans over the corn side.
All right. So as we look at that, how's the current corn and soybean acre numbers going to get used by the market and the trade that we're in?
Yeah, that's always the interesting one, isn't it? Because everybody will say, well, you know, will anybody really use them? It's, you know, it's old news. And no, they definitely will get used. You know, for instance, how we'll use them, we'll plug them into our balance sheets. And when I say balance sheets, it's really just our supply and demand numbers. We'll start putting some yields to that and updating yields from where we were at before and updating demand numbers and getting those ending stock numbers. And once we get those ending stock numbers, we'll compare that back to the demand side and come up with our stocks to use percentage. And then once we come up that stocks to use percentage, and what you're able to do is you're able to look back in past years and say, okay, what does that look like for possible price ranges? And so that gives us an idea to kind of think where, you know, what's the possibility of the market going forward. And I think that's a lot how the trade will use it. We know that they'll continue to make adjustments. They'll adjust acres as we go forward based on weather. They'll continually make adjustments on the yield side, depending on the planting pace and ultimately what we've got for weather coming, and the demand will also be tweaked. But we've got a long ways out until that 2024 demand even kicks in yet.
Yeah, no kidding. So how do you describe then kind of the current kind of feel right now of this corn market right now?
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? You know, for the week, May corn's up 3 and December corn's up 2.25. And we come back and look at what the trade was on Friday and, you know, had a really nice close. May corn closed up 15.5. December corn closed up 15.25. And on the new crop side on December, you know, that was about 3.5 cents off its highs. So we were even higher at one point. And on the old crop, on the May futures, at one point we would have been about 6 cents higher than where we are at. So that had been up around 21 cents higher. And so that's been kind of the feel in the trade. Overall, what we'd have to say is that, you know, we've got a higher close for the week. The speculative traders, the funds are continuing to try to buy back their position. One thing that we did notice, we watched the open interest position. That open interest just tells us whether or not there's basically either new sales on contracts or new basically purchases made, or if for instance you've had a speculative trader that had sold the market previously and they buy back that contract, then that reduces the open interest. And what we did see on this move here yesterday is we did see our open interest increasing, which it tells us that not only are we having the funds buy back some of their position, but ultimately we've got some new longs. Now, that could be speculative traders that are stepping in to buy this market with the thought that we're going higher from here, or it could be end users are saying, you know what, now that we've got this report out of the way, we want to physically get some coverage here. So that's a positive sign, Susan.
And there's also those technicals that'll weigh in as well.
Almost definitely, and that's a lot of it driving right now. So as we kind of dig in and just take a look at the technical side, and starting first, you know, over on the May futures, you know, we had had a really nice uptrend that was happening in this market. You know, the low kind of got set back on February 26th. The market had tried to continually trade higher, but then it broke out to the bottom side of this uptrending channel, and that happened clear back about the middle of March. But what was really nice is to find some support yesterday. Market did bounce back up higher with the information we had, and what was good about that this would have been the highest close we'd have had going all the way back to February 13th, and the highest trade actually, Susan, going all the way back to February 9th. So that's positive. Now, we do got some pretty good resistance right up above us. I would say in the 450 area, there's going to be some major resistance. We've also got right on top of us in the 445 area is an area that we need to really get a close above. If we can do that, then I'd say that opens a door to some additional upside trade, Susan.
All right. Well, stick around, folks. We got a lot more coming up on this no action market day, of course, closed for the Good Friday holiday. We come back, we're going to talk about the flip side of it. We're going to take a look at these soybean trade, get Jeff's thoughts about soybeans and what we're going to see if we could move it higher. Plus, we'll talk more about your marketing plans. More is coming up. It's a Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed Brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
KRVM.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Of course, markets are closed today, observance of the Good Friday holiday, but still get a chance to talk with Jeff Peterson. Jeff is with Heartland Farm Partners. And on the front half, we kind of looked at the happenings of this corn market. So what's your spin on what we're seeing in soybeans right now?
You know, it's been interesting on soybeans is soybeans had a very good run. You know, they put in their low where we were saying on corn was back on February 26th. They kind of put in a low here back on February 29th, and they had really a nice move going and moved all the way up higher and actually put in their high for this move on the 21st of March. And then we've had some weak action here. We pull back, and what's been interesting to watch on the soybeans is that we know that South American crop is going to continue to get a little smaller yet, but, you know, harvest is, you know, probably approaching 70-72% complete. Their soybeans are, Brazilian beans are marking their way, getting their way into the export channels, and they're out there. So there's not a lot of unknowns yet. But ultimately, the market is still finding some support in here. The numbers that we got out here, about as expected, really, on the acreage side. From a technical side, if we take a look at the soybean market, you know, we came back down yesterday and found some support right back in that 1176 area. And that's also an area that actually found some support going back the about the first 10 days of March. So it was good to see find support in there. We did rebound, and now we're trying to get back up into that uptrending channel. We've kind of got some resistance ahead of us, though. We've got right up above us, we've got our 10-day moving average here, Susan, and then I'd say from there we've got another area where we've got some resistance in that 1205 area. And ultimately, there's plenty of beans out there across the world. U.S. is a little bit tight on beans, but with the really the quarterly stocks report showed is that, you know, there's enough beans out there in the country on the farm that at some point those bushels will need to physically move to town. Now, overall, though, I do think we can see some higher price action on both we mentioned it earlier on the corn side and the bean side going forward. But we are going to have to feed it some new information to be able to keep that going, Susan.
Well, speaking of new information, I mean, we would all like to see $5 plus corn, $13 plus soybeans. What is the potential and what's it really going to take to get these guys to knock it up a notch?
Yeah, that's a good point, because always coming out of a report like this, a big question is, was the information that we had, you know, from a combination of the quarterly stocks and then also from the planted or the prospective planting numbers, is that enough to keep this market going from here? And the first thing I'd say is, no, it's not. The price of action that we ended up seeing yesterday, a stronger move on the corn, about unchanged on soybeans, you know, that kind of got the market to readjust. Now we're going to have additional information come in. And really, at this point, it's going to have to be supply related. There really isn't enough of a change we can make over on the demand side for either for corn or soybeans. And so then the first thing that they're going to have to focus on would be the South American weather, because that's the weather that can make the biggest difference. And if you overall look at the South American weather right now in the major grain producing area, you know, Mato Grosso, they're going to produce on the Safrina corn side over 40% of that Safrina corn, that second corn crop, and most all that gets used for export. You know, that area is doing okay right now. As you move a little bit further south, you got some dryness showing on. But as we take a look at some of the longer term maps and weather forecasts for South America, it sure does look like we could see a return to some, you know, warmer and drier conditions. And what's important about that is we know that some of that corn that was planted early, it's entering that pollination and early ear fill stage. So we're coming into a very critical time. Now, the key thing is going to be is that what happens as we see that dry season begin down there. Now, their dry season is a lot different like when we then us, when we see weather problems here in the U.S., usually we'll have a high pressure ridge or something. They naturally have dry and wet seasons down in Brazil. So if the rains do start to slow up here and slow up as we move into April, then on into May, and then we know they really drop off normally very fast from there, then what that's going to do is that's going to shorten up that Safrina crop, and that can continue to give us some additional interest in the speculative traders buying this market and bouncing it higher. And then from there, we switch over, we look at the U.S. weather side. It's going to be kind of hard right now to get much of a bounce out of the U.S. weather. We've got our acres behind us now, but looking at the U.S. weather side, because if we have really good conditions, what we'll then end up seeing is a market we'll talk about physically getting this crop in really fast. So unless it gets really wet and we see some prevent plant type situations, we're going to have to wait a little bit on the U.S. weather situation to really help us out much, Susan.
All right, let's, before we wrap up, talk real quick about adjustments in our marketing plans. And we need to have them in place.
Yeah, most definitely. Need to be working, get that marketing plan in place, think about how much you're willing to sell ahead, really take a look at what you've got left in the bins and what's going to be, you know, you're going to be comfortable triggering those sales. I think the thing to watch for would be, I think we'll see some basis opportunities. We're seeing some basis strengthening in here. So if you got some bushels to move in April, May, keep a close eye on the basis to look to get that set on any strength. But we know after we get out of the field here and get back to, you know, get planting done, we're definitely going to see a lot of corn want to move June forward, Susan.
All right. Great conversation. Jeff, best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Yeah, give me a call at 402-366-4694. Check us out on the web at heartlandfarmpartners.com or follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at JeffPeterson01.
And that is today's Channel Final Bell, being brought to you by the Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional on the Rural Radio Network.